Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 Radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now, let's join our co-hosts, Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley, for today's program.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness here in the Imperial Valley. We do weekly wellness radio shows, and you are part of it. Longtime listeners, welcome back. We love you. Brand new listeners, we love you too. Here's why. Because you're going to hear the show today, and it's going to resonate with you on some level, and you're going to be thinking about people who need to hear the show that you love. Family members, friends, neighbors, people at church, people at school. You're going to be like, oh, geez, you know, Aunt Jill needs to hear this show. And so what you can do is you can go to the KXORadio.com website, look at the Let's Talk About It link, look up this show, which I'm not going to foreshadow by telling you the name, and click and share. You could share it in Messenger. You could share it on Facebook. You could share it in text. You could share it however you want to share it. Send it to the person that you were thinking about as you were listening to the show. That's how community radio works. We get 2,000 shares a month, which means you guys are doing the heavy lifting. That is what community wellness is all about. It's like it's us putting out the product. It's our expert guest today bringing the good information with the show. And then it's you not only listening and putting it into your world, but putting it into someone else's world that you care enough for by sharing it. And that is a really important step, and we are so glad that you take that step. I'd like to welcome aboard our laughter ambassador, Myra Reyes. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She's coming to us from Texas. And she is in our community this week doing a number of trainings related to laughter yoga as we bring it to our community. Welcome aboard, Myra. How are you today?
Hi. I'm really good, and I'm very happy to continue to be here with you all and share more about the benefits of laughter yoga, but also how this can be a life-changing experience for many individuals that are giving themselves the opportunity to know more about what this practice is about.
So you are a young up-and-coming therapist type of person, young woman growing up in Texas. And it's yoga's like a leap, but laughter yoga is like a tremendous leap. How did you come across this? How did it come into your life, and where did you find the value of it, and how did you become an ambassador?
Okay. Well, I think it goes back to my idea about helping others. I was born in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Mexico, which is a border town with McAllen, Texas. And when I was raised over there, I would come back and forth every weekend. And before, it was very typical for that to happen. And as I would cross a border, I would see a lot of people that were homeless. And I always thought about buying a big house for them or making a big house for them so that they could be able to live there. And I never knew that I was preparing myself to help others in a professional way. So as I continued my journey going back and forth, I started driving. I started seeing more of the need. And when I got into the university, I started finding out that I needed to do something in a more professional setting. At the beginning, I was doing more of computer science because I wanted to gain a lot of money. And then from there, I found out that that wasn't it for me. I went into psychology. The class was very boring. So then I went into sociology. So when I was taking sociology, that's when the instructor noticed that I was more about helping one-on-one, more about helping the individual. And that's when he told me about what social work was. So that is when I discovered the professional social work, and I decided to switch professions. So I was very young. I'm still very young, but I was fairly younger. I got my bachelor's really fast. I got my bachelor's degree in social work in 3 years. I had a scholarship, and with that scholarship, I was able to use it like within 2 or 3 years. So they offered me the opportunity to go into the master's program. But the master's program was a year long. So I said, you know what, let's do it. I was supposed to graduate in 2006 with my bachelor's. So I did it, but I graduated with my master's in social work. When I started working as a recent graduate in social work, I was given the opportunity to go into a nonprofit, and I was hired as a Spanish-speaking counselor. So all that I was doing was providing services in Spanish, And I did do my internship at a psychiatric center. So when I did my internship there, I was learning more about how to provide groups for the community. And I started doing groups with women, and we were doing various topics from stress management to anger management, how to deal with life stressors, like how to deal just with general not knowing how to communicate, just with life issues. And I told Hope, the Hope Family Health Center is the name of the nonprofit. So I told him, let's bring in something new. Let's bring in something different along with the groups. And that's when I learned more about what laughter yoga was. We had one of our interns, she was doing her master's in social work internship, and she shared that she was going to go to Austin to get her laughter yoga leader certificate. And I asked her, what is it? She's like, I don't know what it is. I just want to go because I thought it was nice. It was something different.
From your background, what are you thinking at this point? Laughter yoga. I mean, it's like, that is so unusual. Were you?
Well,
like...
I just thought about something different. I said, let's do something new. Let's do something different. I really didn't know. I didn't even think through.
You were just being innovative.
Yeah. I was like, let's bring in something different, something new. She went to get certified in Austin. She came back and she offered the first session. And that's when I learned what it was. So during that session, I heard people say that they never thought they could laugh because they didn't have money. They never thought they could laugh because they were going through struggles, that because they were upset or because they were having a higher light bill than the month before. Because all the time, what do? We usually get stressed, we get upset, we get sad because we're not, that's how we're conditioned. That's how we got used to leading with, we're going through life stressors. So that's when I said, okay, well, if people are laughing for things that are usually stressful, why not get certified myself?
Yeah, I mean, I just offhand thinking about it, children tend to laugh quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And adults less so. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we get tied to tasks, we get tied to stressors, we get tied to kind of the anxiousness of fighting off all of the pains of life.
Yeah.
And so we put laughter in our back pocket and forget it's there.
Yeah, and they're doing more research on that, about how kids laugh about 300 times a day and adults laugh about 15 to 30 times a day. So we can see that there. We are not used to laughing. It happens, but we leave it up to chance whenever there's going to be that funny person that's close to us or that comedy or maybe any funny movies that we like to watch. But other than that, we're not going to be laughing intentionally. And that's the difference of laughter yoga, that you do laugh intentionally. You do laugh because you make laughter.
So you take this class with the person who went to Austin, and it motivates you to become an ambassador.
Well, no, there's a lot more. So there's 11 years of this journey that has been very, very positive in my life, more than anything in my personal life, how it has helped me move forward with my own goals, my own personal goals, without even thinking that was going to happen. Coming here, it's a dream for anybody that does laughter yoga because it is more of a side job. Most of us do it as a contract base. They hire you, go, you do one session, you leave, but never to implement it in an agency like yours. So it is a great, great honor to be here. But if we backtrack a little bit. So when I went to get certified, and back then in 2012, the only people that were doing it were in bigger cities. So where I'm at, it is also called the Valley. So we are excluded from everybody else. If you drive up 4 hours, you get to San Antonio. And if you drive to the right to maybe an hour, you get to the island. But there's really nothing at the island, not for services. So really, the only place that was closest to get certified was in Dallas, which is about 10 hours away.
Yeah, that's a big drive. That's a big drive. That's a long way away.
Yeah, it is a long drive. But just to show you how before, back in 2012, this laughter yoga practice wasn't available, wasn't accessible like it is now, right? So then I decided to use my nonprofit money, every year they would give us a certain amount of money. So I said, okay, for this next year in 2012, I'm going to get certified as a leader so that I can bring it back to the Valley and that we have more people doing it. Because our intern, she was only there for a few months and then she was going back to Eagle Pass. That's where she's from. So then I get certified, I'm doing my certification. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it that it was something that I wanted to do. But on the drive back, 10 hours again, so I was doing a lot of self-reflecting. And that's when I realized, I said, well, people in the Valley, because of distance, they don't really know what's going on. Back then, social media is not how it is now. So I said, well, why not give it a try? Why not make it my own? Make it my own spark, try to change it around based on what I've learned, based on the foundation. And that's how it started. It was
so did you add when you brought it back to your Valley, did you add any elements of cultural competence? Did you try to make it speak to the way that you know that, that people would receive it better where you live?
Yes, yes. And that's how I was able to connect more with my community. So working for a nonprofit allowed me to work with my own people. And my own people, what I mean is people that were also like me with having different journeys, coming from Mexico, having a different language that wasn't the norm. So that's how I felt that connection. And that's why I decided to keep it going.
Nice. So you begin by getting certified in Dallas and then you bring it back to your community. Did your community receive it?
Well, at the beginning, I was the one knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Back in 2012, I got certified in March. I started in April. From April all the way to September, I was the one calling agencies.
And well, because we're a bunch of stressed out adults. So you start saying, hey, laughter's good for you. And everybody's like, nothing funny around here.
Yeah. So then because of my background in social work, I had a lot of contacts already. Or I was creating my contacts. And that's when I would call random people. I would call random agencies. Hey, I'm doing this after yoga. Do you want for me to bring it to your employer, to your agency? And they would ask me, like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know, but I'll show you when I get there. Because I was learning. I didn't know how much I know now. But I was allowed to go into different places. I would do laughter yoga with employees from Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services. I went to do a family reunion session as well, home health, different immigration centers. And I was the one knocking on doors. But then I told the nonprofit, I said, okay, now we already gave a lot of freebies. Now let's start charging for sessions. So in September of 2012, I got my free paid session. And when I got that phone call, I'm like, oh my God, people are actually willing to invest in this. They're actually willing to pay for it.
Well, and when you were giving away your freebies, that's such a wide range of different contexts.
Yes.
And so it's already saying that laughter yoga isn't something that just fits in this little box. It fits in all the boxes.
Yes. So then that's what, and I was doing it mainly for experience too. So I was giving a free session. But at the same time, I told myself, I'm going to challenge myself to go with different populations so that I can be able to feel comfortable, because this could be a business. And it is for me. It's my side business now. But back then, I was seeing it more, let's bring in whatever we can to the nonprofit. So when we started charging in September, the money that we would gain from laughter yoga was going into our budget for psychiatric services. And then so I started getting a little bit of here and there, getting some calls. Until people started saying, how come you don't bring it over to the Valley? But I couldn't, because I could only practice it, but I couldn't teach others. So then that's when one of my coworkers said, well, you go and get certified. Like, go get certified as a teacher. The teacher certification is about four times more than the leader certification. Like, if I could barely pay for the leader through the nonprofit, how can I pay for the teacher? Luckily, when I use my social work background, I was working on a proposal to do a fundraiser, because that's what we do in nonprofits. That's what we do as social workers, find money some way. So when I was doing my proposal, it was in July of 2013, I sent my proposal to my director, and within minutes she responded and she said, I have the money. You're more than welcome to go. All that you need would be your hotel stay and your meals. Because at that point, Dr. Madan Kataria, who's the founder of Laughter Yoga, he was going to be in the U.S. He's from India. So you're going to be in the U.S. that November of that year. So I said, okay, well, let me see. How can I get that money? I had just given birth to my oldest. So I said, I don't have extra money. Right now, money's going for diapers, going for the necessities. But that's when I did a raffle. So I started doing a raffle. I started calling different agencies.
Like GoFundMe before GoFundMe.
Yeah, before GoFundMe existed. And then later on, I found out that raffles are not so much accepted in Texas. But that was back then, so I'm okay. So then when I was doing the raffle, I was able to gain free door prices so that I didn't have to invest anything. These were all donations from different agencies that I knew through social work. And then at the end, I was able to get the money to pay for the hotel and also pay for my meals. So I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket.
You know, part of the story is obviously your drive and determination to make this happen. And that, you know, so I think for people listening in our community who may want to help people who may be on that path themselves, I think there's a valuable takeaway here that I would say that out of all the social worker students who are listening to this, perhaps they probably hadn't thought about laughter yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it probably hadn't occurred to them. And yet this is something that somehow reached out to you over continents, over half the world, and somehow touched you in a way. And you've turned it into something very real. That's an interesting connection.
Yes, and it is. And now that I'm 11 years out, I can see that it was that determination, but I never knew where it was going to go. I was doing it to help others. And that's what, for that year and a half, I would see clients and our community liked it and how they would share that this was really changing for them. They would see a different perspective because of how we know that we can laugh, but we never thought about laughing intentionally to be able to release endorphins. So when I was there in my teacher training, there was about 27 of us from all over the world. Some of the teachers were getting recertified just to get recertified by him, because since he was going to be in the U.S., they drove from Ecuador, from other parts of the U.S., to get recertified by Dr. Cathari.
As we say, he's the mero mero.
He's a mero mero. He's a tough guy. He's a big boss. Yeah, and people say that he's like my godfather because I have him on Facebook and on WhatsApp. And if I message him, he responds. He tells me because he knows the work that I was doing in my valley. Now I have to update him for him to know the work that we're doing in your valley.
Yeah, I know. We really need to talk about what makes laughter yoga so special. You've adopted this as kind of your go-to, and you believe it has universal benefits, let alone benefits to people who are really suffering.
Yes, and suffering from mental health, but also just from life in general. And when I was in my training, we were all sitting down in a circle, and then he had all of us because we were going a lot with learning his life, learning his view from India. And we were in the floor, and he asked us, why are you here today? And I remember that I was like, well, I'm here because I'm going to take it back to the valley and share it with others. And then I started hearing some of my peers say, I'm here to deal with my depression. I'm here to deal with my anxiety. I'm here because it has helped me with my social anxiety. And then I reflected and I looked at myself and my life, and I realized that for over a year, I was no longer as anxious as I was before. I was not overthinking like as I did before. And that's when it started changing, just my confidence level, being able to sign up for things that I never thought I would be able to sign up. And that is when I noticed that this was helping my self-esteem, my self-confidence. And that's why I decided to continue just making it a boom in the area that I'm in.
It's something special when therapists can say that the practice that I'm showing you and sharing with you has greatly improved my life and has greatly supported my mental health. Mm-hmm. That really says something, that personal commitment to things.
And it continues helping. So then after that, I was doing it for different employees. Like from there, it just went on where I was certifying people. So back then in the valley where I'm at, it was only myself that was actively doing this. Then after 2013, that I got certified as a teacher, people believed in it so much that they added to their grants. They added to the yearly funding. So right now where I'm at, there's over 120 people certified. And now it's like very common for people to know about laughter yoga.
You can't drive anywhere in that valley without people like laughing. You walk into the stores, people are laughing. You walk into the restaurant, people are laughing.
That's what you want, right? But at least they know the concept. Now it's not as new as it was in 2012. That nobody knew what it was. And that's where my whole the laughing social worker came about, because of people never getting my name, but they got the concept that I was making them laugh, and at the same time I was teaching them a coping technique.
Well, let's make sure they get your name. We are talking with Myra Reyes.
Yeah.
He's a licensed...
Now on social media, I'm under the laughing social worker. So we can't
work. See, you just gave up at the end of it and said, okay, I'm now the laughing social worker.
Yeah, so then when this was happening, as the pandemic, let's fast forward a little bit to the pandemic. So as the pandemic was going on, that's when I started seeing the benefits that it did in my life. So I had three big losses during the pandemic. Well, it wasn't because of the COVID pandemic, but it was during the pandemic that a lot of things came out, and I lost three different important things in my life and people in my life. And that's when I realized that if it wasn't because of laughter yoga, I don't think that I would be talking about it how I am now. I don't think that I would be able to be healed through it. But laughter yoga taught me that it's okay to laugh at life challenges, not laugh at the situation or the person, but just laugh about it so that you can be able to know how to cope with it and be able to move forward.
It sounds like, one of the things that I really preach is, how do we inoculate ourselves against mental health problems rather than waiting for the problem to get you and mess up your life and then having to recover from it? And it sounds like there's an element of that in laughter yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is the greatest thing about it, that we create laughter. Even if we don't feel like laughing, we are going to create it some way or somehow. But the more you do it with other people, the more you go and show it, the more it becomes ingrained in your brain, you do it without even thinking. Like, your mind doesn't even think about it, and you start laughing. You start thinking, like, okay, well, maybe I'm going through this struggle right now, but it'll get better.
Well, I'm glad your story brought you here. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and really talk about the nuts and bolts of why laughter is good for you, and maybe you can even share some stuff that leads us to that point. This is Let's Talk About It. We're here today with Mayra Reyes. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and she is a laughter ambassador. This is Let's Talk About It. We are sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Let's Talk About It, bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness in Imperial County. I'm your host, Scott Dudley. We're here today with Mayra Reyes. She's a licensed clinical social worker. We are talking about laughter yoga with our personal laughter ambassador for Imperial County. Welcome back, Mayra. Mayra, what physiologically, what is the benefit of laughter itself, just the process and the practice of laughter, and then how does that lead to mental health?
Okay, well, we're usually listening to people say laughter is the best medicine, laugh more. You're going to get outside of your comfort zone. You're going to be able to do so many things. But in laughter yoga, even if we don't feel like laughing, we can still laugh. And that is the greatest thing about it.
So you can laugh without something being funny.
Yes, yes. We don't rely on jokes, humor, or comedy. We laugh. We make it intentional. We create it. We do it as an exercise. So even if we don't feel like laughing, if we don't feel that today is the day that I'm going to be laughing all day for 15, 20 minutes, that is okay. We go through different scenarios so we can be able to create laughter. And that's how this came about. Dr. Madan Kataria in India, he started with 5 people in a group, himself, his wife, and 3 other individuals. And when they were there, they were first gathering to be able to laugh through jokes, comedy, humor. But then after 2 weeks, they started seeing that it wasn't as funny as it was before. The jokes were not as they were intended to be. And that's when some people got offended and they're like, we're not coming back to your laughter club. It's best that we just don't continue. And that's when he asked, can you please give me 24 hours so that I can bring you something else? What he developed is what now is laughter yoga, where we combine laughter exercises, which is real life scenarios. Usually they're stressors that we go through. We add some laughter to it. And then from there, we also combine it with the yoga breathing techniques, which is called pranayama. So this is not part of the traditional yoga practices. This is on its own. The only thing that we get from there is the pranayama.
So the breathing techniques from yoga practice,
yes,
fold into laughter and support laughter. What's going on in our bodies when we laugh? Why is that important?
So the main thing is that every time that we laugh, we're releasing endorphins and we're reducing stress hormones. And that a lot of people say that's a great combo, and I agree with that. Because the more you're laughing, the more you're creating the laughter, you're able to be releasing that, and your body feels a lot better. The time that you exhale, whenever you're doing the ha-ha-ha, you're able to let go of that maybe breathing that has been there for in your body. You're able to cleanse yourself out, and that gives you that relaxation feeling.
Wait, I got a body full of middle-aged pains. Endorphins is pain relief, is that right?
Yeah, so endorphins are pain relief, and they are known as the painkillers, and they're the ones that make us feel good whenever they're being released.
And so laughing itself releases pain relievers.
Yeah, so then the difference is that we create it now. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
So then let's pretend this is the most famous one in my life because it's the one that made an impact. Let's pretend that we don't have any money.
And I don't have to pretend. This is perfect.
We don't have to pretend sometimes, right? But let's say we're there, we're sitting in our living room, and we realize that we don't have money. We open our wallet, and we see that there's no money there, or we see our bank account, and we're going to focus as if we're there. We're living that moment. But instead of getting upset, instead of getting bothered by it, you're going to look at it and say, ha, 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 ha. All that you're going to say is ha, 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 and that is already going to be releasing those endorphins. The more you do it, let's do it again, look at your wallet, there's some money, and you're going to say, ha, 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 ha.
Listeners, are you guys, like, looking in your wallet right now and laughing? Because that's what we're doing. So,
yeah. And if you're not doing it with a physical wallet, that's okay, just pretend. So a lot of laughter yoga is a lot of childlike playfulness. It's a lot of pretending because, of course, like I take my participants to Hawaii. I'm not that rich. I'm not rich, even rich, to be able to take them to Hawaii. But we can transport ourselves in our minds. And that is the great thing about this practice, that we don't need to rely on anything physically with us in order to be able to increase that, those endorphins.
And these are things people could do not on, even under your instructional guidance, like we're doing kind of like these little activities here, but they could do these just themselves in the morning when they get up.
Yes. So like, let's say in the morning, let's say that you just got up this morning and you are going to brush your teeth. When you're brushing your teeth, you're moving your hand, you're brushing your teeth, but then you're adding the ha, 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 ha. So the more you do it, it becomes more natural, it becomes more, more clear for you. So like even right now, when we're practicing, we're brushing your teeth, and then you add a laughter, ha, 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 ha. Our body is already, our mind is already getting used to that. So whenever that moment comes, whenever you're brushing your teeth, your mind is going to remember at some point, like, hey, there was one time when you added a laughter. Why not do it again? And that is how it works, especially for stress-relieving situations. That's where the laughter comes back.
Is it, some people are a little bit more inhibited.
Okay.
Is it harder for some people to give themselves permission to do something like that? Or, versus some people who, you know, it's like, hey, go dance over here. And they're like, yeah, I'm down. I'm moving. And other people are like, So how do you break that inhibition?
In what I've seen in my experience, it can be hard for anybody. It doesn't mean if you're introvert, if you're extrovert, but just the whole thing about knowing that you're laughing for no reason, that is what already creates.
Which is actually a little bit funny itself. I'm gonna go there. It's like, yes. Laughing for no reason is funny.
Yes, but some people, because of their of maybe their guards, maybe they have been used to taking life a certain way, that they don't see themselves laughing out loud.
I'm a serious, responsible adult. I'm not supposed to be laughing, especially at nothing.
You just said that's a perfect example. So that's why I'm saying you don't have to be introvert or extrovert, because I've been surprised with people that that tend to be more introvert. They look into the benefits of this and they do it consciously. They do it on purpose so they can create that laughter.
Now I've got like different types of laughter. I've got like a polite laugh, but I've got like, are you supposed to go for it? I mean, are you supposed to really get that deep old belly laugh going and roll with it?
Yes. Well, we do it based on the exercise that we're working on for that moment, but we also balance it out so that you can be able to have that flow of laughter. And then at the same time, you come back and you ground yourself. And that's why it's very effective for people that are dealing with anxiety. Because a lot of them, they may not know their body so well. So whenever they start freaking out, they think that that's it. But if you start getting to know how your body operates, how your mind and your body are connected, you're able to be more mindful. And that's where we create the mindfulness piece. And you're able to be more, a little bit more rational and know, okay, well, this isn't just how my body's responding right now, but I'm able to stop it. And that's where the laughter can be added to those life stressors.
So some people who are maybe more anxious or maybe have more internal energy going emotionally may get into the laughter, and it may get a little bit desperate almost, because it just gets really pushed by that emotional energy. And so you're teaching, how do you teach people that mindfulness? What does that sound like?
The ideal thing is that we do this in a group setting. So that's where it balances out. We people don't know how you are. Maybe if it's your employer, you guys may know each other, but if it's not like that, then maybe the individuals may not know each other. And this is where it becomes more beneficial, because everybody in the room, they're going to be listening to my instructions as a teacher in this session. So once they're focusing on my instructions, just by having the willingness to do it, your mind is no longer in stressor. Your mind is coming back to the here and now, to the present moment, and you're able to take a break from life. Because that's what a lot of us cannot do. We're always on the go. We're always doing everything for everybody that we forget about ourselves. And this is where we can have that break for the day, at least for that session.
There's a valuable lesson in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to realize that it's important that we take care of ourselves, and having laughter in our lives can be very beneficial. Many times it allows us to be able to go back to our families after a very hard day at work, or vice versa. After going through a lot at home and going to your employer, going to your job, you're able to have that connection that right now I'm going to focus on me and my job. And that's why I added laughter through my laughter stressors, so that I can be able to detach from my personal situations and focus more on the present moment.
You know, that's actually what we call this radio show, is your hour of respite and your hour of self-care, because you're dialed in and listening to the information. And so you're not thinking about the bills you need to pay or the thing you have to do tomorrow or the thing that you regret happened yesterday. You know, all of those things tend to get into our heads. And it's
we're
nice
going
to
along. Yeah,
nice
we're going along the same lines. Mm-hmm. Like we're going around, along the same lines where we want to get out of what is not working for us. If being under stress, being on the go all the time hasn't been that effective because then we don't sleep well. We're not resting well. We're desperate. Like we're always wanting to be on, or like we're on the edge because we're never knowing what's going to be happening next or what's going to go wrong. And that's where this type of practice comes in to be able to give us a break from life.
And our wallets are still empty.
Yeah. And our wallets are still empty. But the best thing is that your mind is going to be more clear when you're doing the ha, 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 because you're getting rid of that oxygen that is not no longer useful in your body. And that's the reason why we combine it with the yoga breathing techniques.
Tell about the yoga breathing techniques, because, you know, one of the things that I'm learning as a late middle-aged person, maybe early elder, I don't know what I am, is that breathing patterns are really important for longevity and well-being. And I just read a study where elderly people are, it's really important that they breathe in for a count of five and breathe out for a count of five rather than taking a lot of rapid or shallow breaths, because it's better for your body. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how you're doing it in your class.
What we do is that we incorporate some chanting. So one of the chanting that we do is where we clap and we just start clapping for no reason. We start clapping and then we add a chanting. Along with the clapping, we say, very good, yay. So we get that reminder that it's okay to enjoy life. So that's one of the different ways of how we can get outside of that routine. But in order for us to activate our diaphragm, we do the other type of chanting where we're going to say, ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho,
ho
ha,
ha, ha, ha,
ha.
See, got ho, me going along with you.
Ha, ha, ha. And what with that chanting, what you're doing, you're activating your diaphragm. The deeper you do it, it comes from your belly. So all of that starts being activated because laughter yoga, it is an aerobic exercise. You are burning calories. You are able to take out that air that is no longer useful in your body whenever you're doing the deep breathing techniques.
Does it matter how we breathe? Do we have to breathe in our nose or, you know?
We usually do it in laughter yoga. We inhale with our nose and we exhale with our mouth. So okay. Usually if you want right now, I can walk them through a very, very small piece.
Let's do that.
Be able to do it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Everybody, if you can please extend your arms. Whenever you bring in your arms, you're going to inhale. So just follow along. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Let's do it again. Inhale. Hold it and exhale. This can go on for a couple of minutes so that we can be able to just have that purifying air. The more air that is flowing through our brain is the more productive we can be. We need at least 25% of oxygen to be able to be flowing for us to feel more, like to feel more clear with a clear mind, to be in the present moment, focus on the here and now.
Stopping and mindfully breathing and ho ho ha 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 in the middle of all this is something that we should plug and play at regular intervals throughout the day. It sounds like something that every few hours, it's probably not a bad idea to stop and do this for 5-10 minutes.
And I encourage my participants to put it on their phone and put in a reminder every 3 hours, every 5 hours, I'm going to take a 10 minute break for breathing or for laughter yoga and breathing. But that is a really, really good thing to do because those 10 minutes are not going to make your whole job to be done in those 10 minutes. Whatever your tasks are, whatever it is that you do, it doesn't matter where you're at, indoors or outdoors. But if you're able to take that 10-minute break, you're able to restart yourself. I do a lot of 10-minute naps, and people tell me, how do you do that? I do it to be able to restart because that's what fills me up because usually I do sessions between or after. So that's what I do to be able to take a break and just not having to do to connect it to that. But when you're taking that nap, you're like allowing yourself, inviting yourself to take a break from the day.
You know, it may be my developmental level, but I swear by 10-minute naps. And I, in fact, will even dream in a 10-minute nap. I'll wake up and go, what? You know, it felt like a 2-hour dream. And all of a sudden, it's only been 10 minutes later. I think that that's probably a good idea. You know what? We are here today with Mayra Reyes. She's a licensed clinical social worker from the great state of Texas. And she is a laughter ambassador. And she is bringing laughter ambassador to the Imperial County. So we are going to actually, she's doing a certification program. So we are going to have people who can do what Myra did for her valley, for our valley. And that is kind of the beauty of this thing. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're going to take a short break. While we're on the break, why don't you do a little bit of breathing and a little bit of ho, ho, ha, 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 and be oxygenated when you come back to hear what the rest of the show holds. All right, we'll see you in a minute.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, feel free to call 760-482-4000. Next week's show topic will be Cal Hope Resource for Mental Health Support. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXORadio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, Wellness Radio, brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services each and every week. This is your hour of self-care, your hour of respite, most importantly, your hour of learning and growth that you can share with somebody you love. So you're hearing the show, you're having a good time, you're doing a little laughter yoga, you're getting in the mood, but you're thinking about somebody else who could benefit from the show. What we'd like you to do is like you to go to kxoradio.com, click on the Let's Talk About It link, and look for laughter yoga. We got a search engine. You could just search it on up. And then you can cut and paste it, and then you can share it by text. You can share it by Messenger. You can share it by Facebook. You can share it in an email. You can share it any way you want, but share it with somebody you love, because that way they get the information. They learn from this as well as you've learned from it. And as a community, we get healthier. We're back with Myra Reyes. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She is our laughter ambassador for laughter yoga. And we are talking about all things laughter yoga. Myra, I've got a question. You know, many times we reflect upon like evidence-based, because, you know, here at Behavioral Health, we are big on evidence-based stuff. We do evidence-based treatments. One of the ways that evidence can be measured is in individual stories. When people talk about their impacts, do you get that kind of feedback in your laughter yoga?
I do. And I get them actually in, it could be in a 30 minute session, even sometimes that I've done 15, 20 minutes. I get a lot of people telling me that they were able to detach from their day, that they were able to find a new technique. And mainly because all of my sessions are going to be tailored to the real life experiences. So this practice can help anybody. As long as you're a human, it can help you. Why? Because all of us go through feelings. All of us go through emotions. We go through life stressors. So this is a really good technique that can help just about anybody.
So you get testimonials from people.
I do. And this happens very often. The one that I like to share a lot about, it's one of my good friends. Her name is Elsa. So back when I was working there at Hope, the nonprofit where I started with laughter yoga, we decided to do laughter yoga as a way of bringing in people for curiosity. They were curious. They were like, what is a laughter club? So this individual, Miss Elsa, she saw our Facebook post that there was a laughter club going on. She messaged on the chat and she asked, what is laughter club? I explained to her what a laughter club was. So she said, okay, I'm going to go in a few days and I'm going to go and check it out. But then she asked, what else do you guys do there? So I explained, we also provide services for those that are not insured. It could be for medical or counseling services. So when I did that, she said, okay, well, let me see if I can get all the services. After going through her first laughter club session, she found out that she was going through more, not just laughter, like not just needing laughter yoga. She was dealing with a lot more things. And that's when she started receiving counseling and medical services. While doing that, she was referred to a psychiatrist. And she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So when this was happening, she was freaking out. She didn't know what to expect. And her psychiatrist prescribed her medication. So she was on medication. She was seeing a therapist. And then she was also coming to our laughter club. After joining the laughter club and being part of this laughter club, she was able to start feeling a little bit better, where her psychiatrist saw that she wasn't in need of a lot of medication anymore. Her dosage started decreasing. She was doing a combination of therapy, medical, psychiatric, and laughter yoga. After a series of sessions, she decided to get certified as a leader. So she was one of my first leaders that got certified. And when that was going on, she was practicing more at home, and it was very intentional. She would set her days to be able to start with laughter yoga, to be able to increase that laughter until she was able to be off her medication. And she has been really successful. But not only that, with Miss Elsa, she started gaining more of her confidence. She was coming from Mexico, so English was her second language. And at that moment, she wasn't even practicing a lot of English. but her confidence was higher than before, thanks to the work that she was doing and thanks to being able to connect with other people and get more connections, that she became a certified peer specialist. So now she was helping other people go through their journeys of mental health. And then that's when she brought her degree from Mexico. She was able to convert everything into the U.S. and she started going to take English classes. While doing English classes, she saw that counseling was her calling. She started doing a master's in counseling program. And right now she's finishing her hours to become a licensed professional counselor in Texas. And that is one of the best stories that I can ever share. There's more, of course, and she tells you a lot more because it's her story, but she allows me to share this story because she tells me there's so many things, again, self-determination about breaking up new things, but laughter yoga gave her that confidence along with the other services. So yes, laughter yoga is not a service on its own. It's a supplement to other services that we can receive.
Well, and it's interesting because it seems like it opens up a spot in the practitioner that they might not have, that needed opening, that allows that person to be more of their authentic self, more of their, you know, we're always told to be our best selves. And it seems like laughter yoga really supplements that in a fairly fascinating way, because who'd have thought that laughter was going to lead to something as breakthroughing as finding confidence, finding a career, and finding your mental health?
And the difference is that we can laugh at all times, whenever there's a movie, whenever there is a condition in front of us to laugh, but for how long do we laugh? Usually we laugh for seconds, maybe a minute or two at the most, where we laugh consistently. When laughter yoga, we create the laughter, we make it last. There's a laughter meditation practice that we do, and we laugh for 5 minutes on and off, but for sure 3 minutes are continuous laughter. And all of that means every endorphin is being released.
That is amazing stuff. How do you see, you know, there sometimes there has to be like a fiduciary reason for people to do research on stuff. When people do research on stuff, it's usually that they're trying to generate some sort of proof so that their product can generate a profit. Laughter yoga strikes me as one of those things that doesn't have that inherent value to it. And so it may have resisted research. Have they done any research on laughter yoga?
It's very limited. It's very limited in the U.S. In other parts of the world, they're more active. There's right now we are in over 100 countries. So in other countries, it's more developed where they have this as a regular practice. They have it in different, with different employers in different school districts. But in the U.S., we're barely picking that up. And that is another reason why now that we are able to compare how is it working for your county? How is it working for our county? And where are we missing something? But that's where the research needs to be done for us to be able to put a name to it and also put the testimonies of how it's helping people and where is it targeting their anxiety, their depression? How is it helping them more specifically?
Yeah, it's like you've got two sides to this. You've got the data side, but you've also got the individual story side, which is mm-hmm. a very important aspect of laughter yoga.
Yes.
What are you are tasking the people that you're training? You're here for right now. You're doing it in the middle of a 2-day training. And thank you for coming aboard after a full day of training, people. So her oxygen and her endorphins are, you know, something's going on there. But you're tasking Imperial County through this 2-day training. You're certifying 20 people. What do you expect Imperial County to do with those 20 people?
The focus of them, I'm getting them ready because of my background in clinical social work. I'm getting them ready to be able to go out into their communities with their clients and show their clients or show our community why is it important to do it, but how do we do it? That way our clients have now an extra coping technique to be able to take home and be able to deal with it whenever there's a life stressor that's going on.
So they're going to be doing a lot of one-on-one with clients. Are they going to do groups with clients? Perfect.
It's going to be a lot of groups, but at the same time, them as employees, they're working on their wellness because they're able to increase their own coping techniques because, as we know, all of us are human, right? And maybe we get overwhelmed at home or at work, and then we don't want our clients to be the ones to feel it. So by doing laughter yoga, like earlier, that's why we're tired, like most of us, because they were doing yoga nidra. So it's a practice of yoga, traditional yoga, that they were doing as part of their training.
Oh, amazing stuff. That and as you suggest, this is very true. We've got secondary trauma exposure in the helping profession. We've got probably leftover stress and stuff from the pandemic still that never got a chance to get sorted out because we just kind of kept moving, and we just eventually just erased the pandemic, even though it's still happening. You know, and for helpers helpers, first responders, all of those people bore tremendous responsibilities during the pandemic. It really amped up, and you saw all of those professions experience enormous losses because people just walked away from those jobs because it just wasn't worth the struggles internally that they were going through. So you're seeing laughter yoga as something that not only serves a community, but serves to retain and keep people healthy in the helping profession.
And that's the thing that with COVID, with the pandemic, this is how all these services came more about, because we started seeing that not only are we going to help ourselves with our thoughts, but also with our breathing. Because a lot of people that got COVID, they have trouble breathing after it because of how it impacts that part of your body. So laughter yoga can also have that as a supplement to help them out with having more effective breathing, but more calming for them.
Oh, that's an amazing side too. So I'm the manager of training, and we offer public available trainings through behavioral health on a regular basis. I'm going to probably push on my end to have, maybe once a month or so, have a laughter yoga training offered to the public and in our partner providers, as far as that goes. You know, because we've got stressed out social workers, social services. We got probation officers that, we've got fire department and law enforcement. All of these people experience a lot of day-to-day stress and quite a significant degree of burnout. And so offering it to that group of people may also be something. So from my position of power and my leverage point in this organization, I'm going to say that, we've got 20 trained laughter yoga facilitators. Let's give them all regular practice by incorporating not only client-based groups, but maybe some public-based groups as well. Is that okay?
And that is part of the training that they're doing. So tomorrow it's going to be now focusing on how to work with specific population. We were going to learn how to work with children, with the elderly, and with the community in general, so that they can be prepared for every population that they are tasked to do.
Myra Reyes, you've done the heavy lifting today as a Laughter Yoga Ambassador. This is your bonus hour after a full training day. If people want to learn more about Laughter Yoga, where would you send them? Where should they go?
They can go to the main website, laughteryoga.org, or they can also follow me on social media as a Laughing Social Worker, either on Facebook or Instagram. And I can always connect them with either a practitioner that may be doing it in their area, or maybe online. If they want to connect through a virtual setting, they can do that as well, even over the phone. I can provide them with that information.
I will follow you quickly because I am a fanboy. Little known fact, they probably haven't even told you this. Mm-hmm. Let's Talk About It did a laughter yoga show in about 2005.
Okay.
Right about the time that you were doing this, we learned, the production staff at Let's Talk About It, we learned about laughter yoga, and it intrigued us, and we thought it would be an interesting thing to do for a show. And so we brought aboard one of the founders, and I'm not even sure who. I wish I could remember the name. It may even be your person.
Okay. And or maybe one of the master trainers in California. There are at least two master trainers here.
So this is like a full circle moment for me. I thank you so much for coming aboard today. We appreciate what you're doing for our community. We appreciate what you're doing for the world itself, and wish you continued success and much gratitude. Thank you so much. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Join us this week and every week for your hour of respite, your hour of self-care, your hour of learning, and your hour of sharing. Thank you so much for coming, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. Heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio under the direction of Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. Co-hosts for tonight's program were Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Let's Talk About It brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. This program is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte, RC Director.